everybody. Welcome to the Hallmarkies podcast. We're so excited today. We are here to talk about the latest episode of When Hope Calls. This is the third episode of this first season. And I'm Rachel and Cammie's here.
Hi, everybody.
Yes. It's so fun to have you back.
And I'm having fun.
Yeah. So, yeah. What were your overall thoughts about this episode? Did you like it? Not like it? Where were you?
Man, you go straight for the jugular, yeah. Don't you?
Yeah.
Okay. Overall, I liked it very much. There were some things that got resolved. There were some new tidbits. There were a couple of things that I went, oh, okay, all right. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. the big thing is that this is still a show getting off its feet. You know, every show needs a little slack in the beginning. And so there were a couple of things that I just went, that I was a little bit disappointed out in this particular episode, but overall, I liked it. I think that things are moving along.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought it was, I would call it sort of a nuts and bolts episode. It's not one, it's one where they did a lot of sort of building up of the characters.
Yeah, and yeah. You need
some of those episodes in every season of a show because, you know, you can't have like these huge things happening every single, you can't have a fire in every episode.
Right, yeah, not every episode. A huge disaster.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense, the episode. And so I enjoyed it. I thought there was some nice character growth for all of our characters. And
I saw some very smoldering long look.
Yes. We should make that like a regular segment of Chuck's lingering looks. He was really good today. I really enjoyed that too. Yeah. So the episode started out with Grace getting very upset about Vincent needing new shoes. Mm-hmm. And I kind of feel like there's six of these children. I mean, she can't have this kind of response every time they need a pair of shoes. Like, this is going to be very hard for her. Like, she needs to, this is a lot, I mean, that's a lot of kids, and they're going to need a lot of shoes and other items. And if she has like emotional trauma from any time they need new clothing, it's going to be rough.
I wouldn't go as far as to say emotional trauma, but she was on the verge of a fit. That's for
right.
sure.
Right. She was pretty upset. And I was kind of like, you know, I don't know. Like, she needs to be a little more workmanlike with this. If she's really going to be expected, you know, this six kids is a lot of kids.
A little bit more Lillian-like.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, she takes everything very, very personally.
Yeah.
And she is so bent and obsessed with making the best life possible for these kids that have now become her children, if you remember. Mm-hmm. They are her children now. And that's what she called them in the second episode. And so she has become very invested in their care. And growing up in an orphanage, she is bent on making the best life possible, giving them the life that she never had, even though they are in the system, so to speak. She wants them to feel like they're a family. And so, yeah, she's a tiny bit driven.
Yeah, you can say that for sure. It's like, it's going to be okay. And yeah, I mean, you're going to have that, you know, our past carries with us, as they talked about in the episode.
Right.
It never goes away, but maybe they should have started with just one orphan, because with six, this is going to be really hard. I mean, I don't know if you got a chance to see last year, if you got to see the movie Instant Family.
I did not. I wanted to, but I never got the chance.
I absolutely loved it. It was so good. And the trailers made it look like way more silly than it was. But it was actually like, I mean, it had silly moments, but it was actually really emotionally true to me. It was very well done, very moving. And just about, it was very honest about the struggles that this couple has in fostering and then fostering to adopt these two siblings, or maybe it's three, I can't remember, but anyway, just how hard it is. And and so that, you know, she's, it's gonna be tough with, you know, with these kids. And
I'm wondering if they had only started with one orphan, if it would have counted as an orphanage.
Yeah,
you know,
who
if
knows?
we're talking about state funding, we still haven't figured that out. I still haven't quite figured out how Canadian state, how Canadian funding happened back in 1916. Dang it all!
Right, because they obviously have some kind of funding, and some of it's probably inheritance and things like that from Lillian's family. It seems like I mean, obviously she got the house from them.
Right.
She has, we found out that Eleanor was her sister.
Yes!
We didn't find that out today. And,
I had this big reaction. Yes, she was the house. I'm pointing at the TV.
Yeah. It makes you kind of wonder why she didn't, kind of push her family to find grace, or to and maybe she did, and maybe we'll hear a little bit more about that or something.
Yeah, that's a part of the history that we just don't know yet.
Yeah, we don't know, you know, kind of what she might have tried to do, or what her parents were even aware of grace, or, you know,
I still want to know where her parents are, you know. Just did they die? Are
Yeah, I guess I just assumed they died. I don't know. You're right, though. And why did they only adopt one of the sisters?
They were sent to different orphanages. It's a 1 second thing in the very first episode when Lillian is talking to Ben, the feed store owner. Mm-hmm. She says, I was 7 and she was 5 when we were sent to different orphanages.
Oh.
So
Canada and their orphanages.
Easy, Tiger.
So anyway, she's pretty upset about Vincent needing shoes. So she's going to town. And we get a nice little flirting on horses scene between Grace and Chuck, which was very cute. I liked that.
Passing would be rude. Riding alongside would be presumptuous.
Yeah, right. That was good.
They really give him some really great lines, and then he delivers them so well.
Mm-hmm. He's really charming. I like the casting of this. I think it's right on. I haven't always loved all of the casting that some of the Hallmark shows have done, but I think this show, they did a really, really good job. And so, yeah, that was cute. And we find that Gabe is looking at into Daniel, who worked for Tess.
Mm-hmm.
And because he had the Palomino, very suspect, that was outside. And so he thinks he might be involved in the fire. And so Tess is obviously very upset by that. And she's, you know, defensive of her person.
Well, and I loved that they had Tess hammering fences when Gabriel rode up. I said, whoa, she's not afraid to get her hands dirty. She may run things, but she also works. And one of my friends tweeted during the tweet fest last night, she said, She's she's mending fences. I wonder if that's a metaphor for things to come. Very deep, very deep.
No, yeah, I didn't think of that. You're right, though. But I think
Hadn't either. I didn't think of it either. It was all her.
Well, I think it's interesting, though, when you look at her having, she's obviously a super, super loyal person to us. And so her having to face this sort of betrayal, I think could help her to kind of, if she can learn to forgive this person, maybe she can then learn to forgive and be able to, you know, people in the past. So that could be interesting. And
it's funny you should say that, because when she's talking to Daniel and then she says, "I'm never going to trust anyone again," I went, "Oh, crud." because she was just on the cusp of opening up to Lillian. They had that moment with the broken wrist and the talking about the past, and I just went, oh, and then she's with Daniel, "I'm never gonna open up to anyone again, I'm never gonna trust anyone again."
What I hope, though, is I hope they don't resolve this too fast, because one of the things that frustrated me this last season of Good Witch is they would bring up these interesting plot points for the different characters, where I felt like the characters could really grow and really become interesting, and then they would solve it the next episode, and you're like, oh, there was so much potential there in that story thread, but I kind of felt like, oh, they didn't trust their characters to really be vulnerable and to be in that kind of in between spot, you know, for a couple of episodes, for a season even, particularly with Martha, was frustrating this last season. I just felt like there were so many plot points where it was like, oh, why are you closing it now? There was so much more you could have done. And so I hope that with this, obviously it's completely different writers and stuff, but just fresh on my mind. But I hope with this that they allow this to kind of marinate for a while and get us to really see some growth in Tess, and don't just tie it up in a bow, because sometimes Hallmark people can be a little afraid of any kind of conflict or kind of vulnerability of their characters, and it's definitely true with Chesapeake Shores, but this, I that's what I hope. I hope that we get at least a couple episodes of this kind of playing forward, and they don't feel this need to sort of tie it up into a bow in the next episode, but we'll see.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pie, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Well, so far, I think we're okay, because third episode and she hasn't forgiven anybody.
Yeah.
She actually showed emotion.
Yeah, it was good.
I tweeted, Tess is showing emotion. I think I might faint.
So Daniel with the, let's see, sorry. So then Lillian finds the old photos with the picture of Tess and Chuck and her family all together. And then we find out that there was some kind of accident on a bridge.
Yeah.
And so something happened where Lillian's dad had said a bridge was okay, but it wasn't okay. And so we're going to find out more details about that, but there's something, we got some clues about that.
Yeah, I have to admit that part was a tiny bit anticlimactic for me. That was one of the things that I went, oh, that's the problem is a bridge. Oh. I thought it was going to be something a little bit more involved with that. And, you know, that's me and my expectations.
Yeah.
So it was just,
We don't really know. I mean, we'll see how it plays out about the bridge, but yeah, it's easy to kind of, especially when you're dealing with grief and loss, you know, it's so personal. And so everybody responds so differently. Yeah. So I can understand that, I guess, but, and she seems like somebody who holds a grudge. And so we'll see how that plays out. But yeah, I can kind of see what you're saying too, that it's kind of like, but yeah, we'll see. We just heard the word, so we don't really know the backstory of what it is. So
I thought I heard that Lillian's dad helped with the bridge somehow, but yeah. I could be wrong. I heard that he helped with it somehow. Yeah, but
right, we just don't know what that really means.
Right, like, we need to hear more.
Did he? You know, what did he do? Did he just inspect it? Did he? What? We have no idea. But anyway, so she has this old photo, and then we see Maggie cleaning up in the infirmary, and yeah, and so Lillian ends up helping Maggie to organize everything.
Are you always this excited about tidying?
Yeah, you have good, pretty good British accent there.
Thank you. My theater degree is good for something.
Yeah, that was cute. I mean, I guess I didn't even realize that Lillian was so fastidious about, you know, organizing things and stuff. I didn't realize that about her character.
And the alphabetizing of the medicines and the tinctures. Right. And just the look on Maggie's face. How very precise. And then when Joe comes in and says, is it possible to be too organized?
Yeah, that was funny.
Maggie says, I think this might be testing the limits. You know? That was a great interaction between the two of them.
Do you think that they're setting up something between Joe and Maggie, or no?
I don't know. I will admit that when we watched the preview, so when it said previously on When Hope Calls and they showed that little clip of Maggie and Daniel, I went, oh my gosh, are you serious? They're going to put those two together? And then the clip was because he was stealing the cattle. But I don't know. I mean, I think anything is possible. I know that they are setting something up with the shoulder. That's going to come back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the shoulder has to be something that's going to come back in later storyline.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of hope they don't, because I'd like to just have one character that's just sort of an independent, you know, woman that doesn't need like a love interest necessarily. But I mean, it could be fun. It could be fun. They seem very different in age, though. But
they do.
Not that that necessarily matters that much. But anyway, but yeah, it was cute. It was definitely cute. And so do you think that Lillian's going to end up working? That's how I thought the first they were going, because you got Grace getting a job. I'm like, oh, is Lillian getting a job?
I wondered that, but it does not seem like it. I think that she was just helping her out. And are we going to talk about that job of Grace's?
Yes. Yeah. So, but before we do that, I just wanted to talk a little bit about the sponsor for this episode, since we're in the infirmary. We talk about Care Of, which is a great company that sells vitamins and protein powders and other products. And you can go on their website right now at takecareof.com and get 25% off with code Hallmarkies. And it's really cool because you can log on and you can take a quiz that helps you to figure out what kind of health needs you have. And also it kind of asks how sort of skeptical you are about vitamins, just where you are sort of mentally and physically, what your needs are. And it really helped me to kind of, I definitely needed help with sleep, with iron, with some other things. And you get these little packets and they're really cute. They have your name on it. They have like an inspirational quote, and you take the little vitamin packet every day. And the little packets are actually compostable. And you can find out all about that on their website, careof.com. And it's really cool because they just had such an attention to detail. And I've really been impressed with the company and the product. So if you go, 25% off your first order at takecareof.com, code Hallmarkies. Check it out. I think you'll really enjoy it. So there you go. Check that out. Yes, let's talk about Grace. So she's pretty upset about the shoes. She finds out they're like $2 for the right fitting pair of shoes. She's pretty upset about it. So she goes into the hotel. She finds out they're super, super busy, mad busy. And she basically is like, hey, I'll start working for you. And she ends up getting a job. What do you think about that?
Well, then that sneaky little girl, she goes in and starts taking orders and shows how indispensable she is. And then he says, you don't work for me. No, I don't, but we can change that.
Yeah. it makes me think that maybe she had some kind of experience in her past doing that kind of work. Because that's not like an easy job. Some people might think it is, but it's not.
No. If I remember correctly, they said in When Calls the Heart, The Greatest Christmas Blessing, that is where Lillian found Grace. They found her waitressing in a restaurant.
Good pull. I forgot that. You're right. That is very good. Yeah.
I remembered that, right? Oh, good.
Yeah. I think that's true. I'd have to watch it again to know for sure, but that sounds right. That's really good. Yeah. So she knows what's going on. She knows how to take the orders and to, you know, try to make people happy.
Flirt with the customers.
Yeah. Make people happy as far as orders, and if they're not happy with their chicken or whatever it might be. And so that's really good. And I think that's going to be good for her to have a way to kind of really participate and really contribute, you know, like getting the shoes and things like that. Like,
well, and you saw how happy it made her.
Yeah.
It made her so happy to be able to earn that money to be able to buy Vincent those shoes.
So hopefully that will help with some of her anxiety that she's feeling.
Well, and that's where we got all of the great looks.
Yeah. There were so many good, good lingering looks. It was, I very much agree. And so then we find out that Daniel has, the foreman has left, and he has a firebrand thing.
A branding iron.
Branding iron, yeah. And so that kind of becomes influential later on. And
Gabriel had some serious Mountie and detective skills with how he did the whole branding on the wood and showed Tess and Ken exactly what Daniel was doing. I don't know if he questioned Daniel or if he just figured that out all on his own, but that was a great scene for RJ Hatanaka.
Mm-hmm, that was good. And so there's a scene where Ronnie,
the brother-in-law,
Ronnie, where he tells Grace that Chuck is sweet on you. And I mean, he's a human and he can see all the lingering looks. So of course he's like this. But you know, Chuck is kind of concerned that they're overworking Grace. And so that's why he says to Ronnie, like, you need to hire someone else. Like, you need to, because it's too much. And
Ronnie is also a bumbling human and doesn't know when to keep his mouth shut.
Yeah. I mean, I think that that's classic
uncle.
Yeah, kind of a thing. Like, ooh, you know, it's basically like a male gossip. Like, he's basically kind of a situation. And And so Grace is upset with Chuck about saying there needs to be a second person. And she says, I don't need anyone to look after me, which of course is not true. We all need people to look after us.
Amen.
And, of course. And there was a little, I feel like a little continuity error in that Lillian gives the picture to Chuck. And then later on, she still has the picture. So I don't know if there's two pictures or.
Oh, no. She asked him, should I give this to your mom? So she didn't give it to him.
I thought she said, will you give this to your mom?
Yeah, she tried. She tried to. She said, will you give this to your mom? And the problem is that there's so much mumbling. You know, he's trying to sound deep and cowboyish that you can't hear everything he says. Uh-huh. So he says, I think you should give it to her. So yeah, it took me rewinding it to hear it. So yeah. That's why you missed it.
Good catch. So yeah, then we get Gabe hunting down Daniel, and Daniel says, oh, the fire was an accident, but it sounds like he did admit to breaking into the Cattlemen's Association, or he's basically been, for sure we know that he has been stealing cattle from both the person, I forget that farmer's name who's mad at Tess.
Ken Newsom.
Okay, yeah, him and Tess, he's been stealing cattle from. So that's a thing.
Yeah, that's a thing.
And Grace says, at one point, she says, we can't protect people from their past. They've already lived it, which I thought was a pretty good little line. Good little writing there.
That was a sweet moment with the two of them, and just the vulnerability and the sadness in Grace's eyes, and Lillian having some major survival guilt. I mean, that's what one of my friends, she and I watched the episode together, and she said, Lillian has some major survivor's guilt. And I said, oh my gosh, I never thought about it, but she was adopted. She had a family. And so now she's saying, oh, you don't want to look at those. And, no, I do. She has a serious case of survivor's guilt.
Yeah. Yeah, she definitely does. And yeah, it's not her fault. Mm-hmm. But I guess that would be a natural kind of feeling to have. And so yeah, it's interesting. And I wish that they had to have more of the kids. I mean, I guess the last episode they had quite a bit with Rosemary and all of them and the kids. But I love that about When Calls the Heart is, I mean, I guess it's probably natural since she's a teacher, but I would like to see more of the kids in.
Well, and since there's only six of them, that makes it a little harder, and you also have to be careful about minor work hours. And since they're in an orphanage, they're usually going to be all together.
Yeah.
And so yeah, we had that adorable Freddy, as Maggie called him, with the fever.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's true. That was cute. That was cute. I need to see more Mary Louise. She's my favorite. She's really cute. And then Lillian talks to Tess. Tess says, when I look at you, it reminds me of how I lost my husband. So she's pretty upset. And then we see Gabe riding with Daniel in handcuffs. And
I want to know what's keeping him from kicking his horse and taking off at a full gallop. So
yeah, I mean, I guess you know that the Mountie can do the exact same. So
true. Yeah.
Yeah, and it probably wouldn't do you much good. Who knows? Maybe there's some kind of connection between the two horses in some way. But so that's what happens, and we find out that yes, that Daniel was stealing cattle. Tess says, I'm done taking chances on people. So she's very, very upset. And that's when we get that scene you were talking about where Gabe shows that he's been using his Iron brand to create his own brand off of both of their existing brands. Like, he's able to, I don't know, it's hard to explain, but yeah, he's found a way to make his own brand off of both Tess and the other guy's
Ken
brand. So anyway, that was interesting.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, Grace says to Chuck, I think he says, you were just looking out for me. I'm getting used to that.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Can I just say, what a firecracker. She has this big explosion and then it burns out almost instantly. And then she doesn't even remember why she was mad. She said, I just want to apologize. For what? Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but that's what all of us that are strong personalities, fiery personalities, that's what happens sometimes.
Oh, I know. But the fact that she said, what are you apologizing for? Like, oh my gosh, really? And then, I mean, poor Chuck, obviously it's agonizing him, you know, because he's when Lillian shows up and hello, I said I was sorry. Isn't that just like a man? He's apologizing to big sister so he doesn't get yelled at again.
Right, yeah.
I mean, the poor guy, it's bothering him so much. And then she forgot completely about it.
Yeah. I mean, he's the poor guy. He's spending all his salary eating at the at the thing. And
then it's bad food.
Yeah, and then he gets in trouble anyway. But then there was like a little scene with Gabe and Lillian, like a little flirty, like a little talking. That was cute. And then Tess and Chuck kind of end the episode talking about their father/husband. That was a sweet. And so there you go. That was basically the episode. And like I said, I felt like it was kind of a nuts and bolts episode that we'll see dividends from in the next little bit. So we'll look forward to next week.
Yay.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, great. Well, how can people find you on social media and all that fun stuff?
I have a Facebook page, Hooked Hardy. I have an Instagram account at Cammy Drama Girl. That's also on Twitter. And my blog is hookedhardy.com. Hardy with an IE.
Great. And you can find me at Rachel's Reviews, all of our social media, iTunes, YouTube. Check that out. I have Family Movie Nights picks every single Monday night over on my channel. So I'd really love you to check that out. And make sure you're following the podcast, The Hallmarkies Pod, and The Hallmarkies Podcast, all over social media and on iTunes and YouTube. If you're listening on iTunes, please give us your ratings and reviews. We really appreciate it. And if you're listening on YouTube, please give us a thumbs up and subscribe to the channel. We love you for doing that. We have so much fun stuff coming up. We're already in preparations for the holiday season. It's going to be crazy and exciting. And we can't wait. So definitely you want to make sure to be following all things Hallmarkies. Yeah, and please consider becoming a patron of the channel. We have giveaways. We have lots of fun perks for our patrons. We have our Facebook group, and you can become a patron for as little as $2 a month. So that's pretty great. So I'll have information if you check in the description about becoming a patron. We also have our merch store, which we have new holiday designs, which are so cute. Plus, we have our, you can see in our thumbnail, our design for When Hope Calls. We have merch all about that. So if you like When Hope Calls, you can check out and you can get our merch done by my friend Joan at Bitsy Creations, which is really beautiful. And you can have all different kinds of items that are inspired by When Hope Calls. So check that out. And thanks so much, Cammy. This was really fun to talk about.
Yes, thank you. Bye, everybody.
Bye. This podcast was brought to you by Hallmarkies for Hallmarkies. For more information about how you can leave your mark on Hallmarkies, visit HallmarkiesPodcast.com, link in the description.